Welcome to my podcast, a first Alpina medium for all employees, as well as fans and everybody who wants to become part of First Alpina in the future. This episode was translated from the German interview with AI.
Welcome to the 24th episode of my podcast. I'm Sylvia Reim, and I'm glad you're listening again. On April 1st, 2024, Reinhard Neubauer succeeded Franz Rotter and became CEO of the High Performance Metals Division. Today, I'll be talking to Mr. Neubauer about what has happened in the division since then and how he is making it fit for the future. Welcome, Mr. Neubauer. You have been a member of the executive board of Voestalpine and head of the High Performance Metals Division for 14 months now. How are you doing?
First of all, hello, everyone, and thank you for asking. I'm doing well. The last few months have been very busy, not only for me, but also for many of my colleagues, and it will continue that way.
Before we go into more detail, Mr. Neubauer, could you please explain the High Performance Metals Division's portfolio of activities so that our listeners can better understand the changes we will be discussing later?
Certainly. The Voestalpine High Performance Metals Division, which we abbreviate to HPM in everyday language, specializes in the manufacture, sale, and servicing of materials, particularly in the tool steel, high-speed steel, and special materials segments. The vast majority of these materials are produced by melting metallurgy for particularly high quality and very intensive applications, including powder metallurgy. Tool steel is used in tool die and mold making. This includes die casting, where parts are formed from molten aluminum alloys, and injection molding, where plastic components are manufactured. High-speed steel, on the other hand, is used in the machining of materials. This means, for example, we are talking about drill bits or gear hubs. Special materials are used in the aerospace and energy engineering sectors, as well as in oil and gas extraction. This group includes nickel-based alloys, which are materials that are subject to extremely high stresses and are highly resilient. And then, of course, we also talk about titanium materials for forged parts. And if you look at HPM again from above, there is an area called operations. These are the plants where we have a total of 7 plants where the production sites are grouped together and a sales network with around 130 locations worldwide. And there we also offer services such as coating and heat treatment.
That's a very impressive and very broad spectrum. And I'd like to pick up on that and ask you what has shaped your first year as head of the division and what your main areas of focus have been.
The general increase in uncertainty was certainly a defining factor. This has become even more apparent in recent months, and I believe that everyone is now aware of this uncertainty and the changes and their rapid succession. I set myself just 2 priorities, but they were challenging. One was to work through the homework, and the other was to set the division on a sustainable course. For me, both of these fall under strengthening resilience, and I believe that in the new system of joint responsibility, this means resilience within and for the company.
I would like to continue with the topics. You mentioned 2 priority areas. These are topics where you want to redesign things. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, when it came to homework, it was certainly the sales process for our subsidiary in Germany, Buderus Edelstahl GmbH, which we were able to sell, and finding some viable solutions with a supplier for the special steel plant in Kapfenberg, and the sustainable alignment of the division. This is, of course, something we worked on very, very intensively. And we redesigned many things and prepared the implementation accordingly, and then launched the new organization on April 1st.
So there are quite a few changes. What are the specific changes that perhaps you could name them?
Well, in order to really illustrate this clearly, it is important to understand how we as a division, as HPM, have functioned in the past. On the one hand, we have a global and unique sales network. This sales network is mainly served by plants in Austria and Sweden, and to some extent also by Brazil. These are the Pöhler, Uddeholm, and Villaris brands. In the past, these plants competed with each other, which was a good thing and made sense. Now, however, we are in a period of great change. When markets become tighter and competitors have upgraded their offerings, we need to position ourselves differently and take account of the technological improvements made by our competitors. We do this by offering customers the best solution from our division. We do this quickly and sustainably, which means we focus on the divisional optimum.
The divisional optimum You just said that, a very exciting term. Perhaps you have an example for us. What does it mean in concrete terms?
Yes, we simply have to position ourselves in such a way that we don't stand in our own way. And what counts is the success of the division. And we no longer measure the individual optimum of a single company, but ourselves as a whole. That's definitely new. And it also forces us to think in a more networked, global, and stronger way with each other. And then everyone makes their contribution locally on site. That's how it has to be, and that's how it will stay. And if we work on the divisional optimum and really look at it along the entire value chain, then on the one hand, we are faster, we have fewer interfaces, we are quicker, and we can serve our customers much better. This means that we are perfecting our customer relationships, and interaction with us is also becoming much easier. We simply have a one-face-to-the-customer approach. That wasn't the case in the past. We used to have duplication of effort, but we've eliminated that, which of course makes it much faster and easier for customers to contact us and interact with us. Another benefit of this divisional approach is that we can naturally strengthen our sales power and negotiate differently with customers in cross-divisional negotiations involving several plants or several sales companies.
As far as I understand, this means that your employees in the division have to change their way of thinking and also how they work together. How do you create understanding and, above all, the will to do this?
Yes, my team and I have worked very, very hard to eliminate interfaces and duplication of tasks, to bring people closer together and to improve and speed up the flow of information, which means that we are then also better positioned. That's very easy to say, but it has to be translated into the division. I like to use the image of an expedition. We are very much confronted with uncertainties on the one hand and different terrains on the other, which we have to tackle or navigate differently depending on where we are. One example of unpredictability is import duties, and the corresponding terrain is, of course, a region of the world that is exposed to this and then reacts differently. You can only do this if you have truly committed, convinced, visionary leaders who really drive these changes forward and then lead the teams through this expedition to their goal and to success. What we always have to keep in mind is the customer, so that they are served, of course, but also our division as a whole, and that is a challenge that we have already mastered quite well in the new organization. However, this requires everyone to work together because the whole thing has become so complex that one person can no longer handle it alone and is naturally dependent on the team. And that brings us to issues such as trust and reliability, which we also have to cultivate and live very, very intensively.
This expedition sounds very, very exciting. You've explained to me how you're implementing the program, but I'd like to take a step back. How did you manage to get your employees on board with this expedition in the first place?
Well, first of all, we worked very, very hard to create understanding. That was relatively easy for us because the upheavals were very, very significant, and the difficulties for HPM were obvious. We are in very challenging economic times. We are not alone in this, and all of our colleagues can relate to that. So we were able to communicate the why relatively well. We need results. We need the divisional optimum. We can no longer afford to pursue multiple strategies. And if we stand still and try to freeze things, then we basically have no future. Ultimately, it was also a matter of explaining the what appropriately. And with this new structure, we have become much more customer-oriented and focused on these customers. And we have also defined the corresponding market segments. We then formed our teams in such a way that we can align our strengths with the needs of our customers and really concentrate and focus on creating a win-win situation for both sides. What was then necessary, of course, was to clearly define what was missing in the area of operations, what the expectations were for sales and the sales organization. This clear description is also necessary to ensure that things are driven forward smoothly and without losses, and implemented in the interests of the customer and the division.
I think we are now at the how stage, Mr. Neubauer. Let me ask you how you will implement the project together with your management team.
We have already discussed this several times and touched on it briefly. These are major changes, and fundamentally it is also a large-scale cultural program because we are changing a great deal here. We are looking closely at what the changes mean for each individual and providing appropriate support. The openness that we demand and promote also requires trust, and this must be lived by us as the divisional board. And of course, it is also necessary that we adapt the relevant committees and describe the processes in detail so that this can be put into practice. This is supported by a training program for managers so that we can really incorporate these principles into our daily work and work with them. Then, of course, we also have to measure this. We need progress, and we will look at this very closely. This is necessary so that we know where we need to make fine adjustments and where we need to develop a different approach in order to make real sustainable progress. It is crucial that this change is taken seriously. We have to lead by example in the divisional management team. We are absolutely convinced that this is the right way forward. And we have, of course, worked together not only within our organization, but also with the committees, the supervisory board. Then we discussed the vision intensively with the executive board of Voestalpine, and both they and the supervisory board of the AG are fully behind this program.
That is crucial and very important, of course, but I would still like to go into more detail and ask what this change means for each individual employee.
Yes, that's something that will gradually become apparent. We have, of course, taken a close look at the entire division. We looked at thousands of job descriptions and then, of course, created a matrix. At first glance, this affects 5% of the employees, but of course they have a knock-on effect. And yes, that is certainly important for the future style and culture of how we work together, who has to contribute what, and how that all radiates out. And in the spirit of this openness among each other, the issue of personal responsibility also comes into play very strongly. You have to take on that responsibility for dealing with these issues and for driving the program forward. And closely linked to personal responsibility is, of course, the concept of a culture of error. People must be allowed to make mistakes, but it must also be the case that we learn from these mistakes. And in this, we will, of course, also have to develop in this area and in this iterative process. And we will certainly learn a thing or two very, very intensively. That is one side of the coin. The other side is, of course, that a lot will change for managers. Who is responsible for me? Who am I responsible for? This means that there will be changes in areas of responsibility. Some managers may have several reports, but this will only be the case if absolutely necessary. And that's the case when a customer segment or another segment doesn't yet have the critical mass in a particular country, until you've really pushed it forward to the point where you can really serve it with one hat and don't have to put on several hats. So we've been very, very careful to ensure that this only happens in exceptional cases.
But does that also mean that employees within the division may move from one company to another?
Reporting structures will change. This means that they may be managed by someone else in terms of technical and disciplinary matters. However, this may well be from another continent. But we see the whole thing as a division and, of course, as a global entity.
At the beginning, you spoke about your strong and unique sales network. Will this local expertise continue to exist? And if so, what role should it play?
Well, these local companies are, of course, the key to the local market, and that's very important to us. Our colleagues know these markets inside out, and they are also extremely well connected to the relevant market mechanisms. And we will, of course, support them so that they can do exactly that, serve our customers and have our full backing for this work.
Let's take a look at production. What does this restructuring mean for production? Could you perhaps explain that to us?
Well, production and service provision in our business depend heavily on innovation and the development of products that set us apart from the competition, as well as on the processes, technologies, and business models that we build on and then design. We will pay very close attention to achieving an optimal product mix, which, in conjunction with operational excellence, will naturally enable us to manufacture products in an economically sustainable manner and thus serve our customers really well. I mentioned at the beginning that some of the plants used to be in competition with each other. We are currently building this global production network so that we can then manufacture products where they are best suited and where. We support this with appropriate supply chain management that combines the framework conditions for operations and sales accordingly, and then distributes them optimally and brings them into alignment. In other words, supply chain management is the bridge between sales and operations. And of course, optimizing storage capacities is also an essential part of this, entering the market with as little as possible and as much as necessary. And that, of course, also requires a lot of coordination.
So when I hear you say that, there's really a lot going on at the companies in the high-performance metals division, right?
Not just there. This also affects Vienna, of course, the headquarters. We have analyzed this accordingly and are reorganizing things. We are streamlining wherever possible. And that's also something we're organizing. We're also questioning processes, tasks, and our self-image. And we need to further develop this service mindset, which means on the one hand, making life really easy for our colleagues out there. But on the other hand, setting specific KPIs that will really help us move forward. The focus must be on moving the division forward accordingly. And in this case, less is often more.
Well, I think the image of an expedition that you mentioned earlier is really very apt. A journey might have been a little slower and more predictable, but you are aware that much of this is unpredictable and that you have to adapt quickly to new circumstances along the way.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. We need to know where we want to go, and we need to have the flexibility to decide whether we can get there, whether we need to go left, cross a stream, or find a bridge, however that's shown on the map. And this issue is very closely linked to sustainability and resilience so that we can position ourselves accordingly for the future.
Then I wish you all the best on this adventure. I look forward to talking to one of the expedition participants about their experiences at a later date.
That's certainly a good idea. And then we can compare whether what I say has actually reached those who really have to implement it and really move us forward.
In any case, thank you very much, Mr. Neubauer, for the details and the exciting insights into the world of the high-performance metals division.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Ram. You asked really targeted and precise questions, and I hope I was able to explain things very clearly based on those questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would now like to summarize the three most important lessons from our conversation today for you, dear listeners. Diverse range of tasks. The High Performance Metals Division specializes in technologically sophisticated special steel products, producing tool steel, special steels, powder materials, and nickel-based alloys. Global presence. The High Performance Metals Division is represented worldwide with 130 locations. The focus is on the so-called division optimum, which promotes a new way of thinking and cooperation within the division. That was a new episode of my podcast. If you are not yet a subscriber, follow our podcast on the platform where you are currently listening. If that is Spotify, please activate the bell so that you receive a monthly reminder when a new episode is available. In my podcast number 25, we explore a completely new topic. We take a look at the field of finance and ask ourselves how Voestalpine prepares its financial statements. Harald Mayer, head of corporate accounting and reporting, gives us an insight into the world of accounting.
Voestalpine, one step ahead.